It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Hello, praise the Lord, and welcome to Jesus is the Answer. This is Pastor Peter. I'm going to pray for you and your needs, and I believe that our God is going to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We are talking about the healing power of God. God heals today. In the last program, we learned how God used Abraham to pray for others and how God did the miracles. God even testified Abraham is the prophet. And we see Abraham got first son Ishmael, second son Isaac, and then when the Sarah died, he married another Keturah, and then he got six more sons. Altogether, he got eight sons, and he lived 175 years. Can you imagine? Once you believe God and trust God and you want to be a useful vessel of God, God uses you. We read Moses climbed to the mountain. His body was functioned properly. He was a healthy man. His eyesight was good. And he lived 120 years. But here today we are Christians. We are born again Christian, and some of us, when we get sick, first thing comes in your mind, I'm going to die. The fear of death comes upon us. But the Word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. That is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us power, love, and sound mind. If you don't have sound mind, you would not be doing anything for the Lord. The devil brings the fear. Devil brings the anxiety. Devil brings the doubt. Doubt and fear is against faith. So if we are a children of God, we are going to live by faith. Sometimes God gives us a good example about us to heathen. God said to the heathen king, Abraham is my servant and he is a prophet. We do not see so many prophecy Abraham gave. But prophecy means a message also. Maybe Abraham gave him message that my God is a healer. Increase their faith and then prayed for them. Today we are going to learn another example from the Bible. God gives a good testimony about Job. You have to read in the book of Job chapter 1. God gives a good testimony about Job. He is a very righteous man, very good man. There is none like Job. And then, if you remember, the Satan comes and says, you know why? Because you have the hedge and protection over him. That's why, and not only that, you prosper him in every way. If you take his prosperity, he will curse you. I mean, he will sin. But God knew that Job was a good man. He was a righteous man. But he was not perfect man. He was not a sinless man, even though he was a good and righteous man, according to that standard. In those days, as I said, in the time of Abraham, or even the time of Job, what Job was doing, he was doing animal sacrifice to protect his children. He said, in some time, they might do something wrong, and so I don't want God killing them, so I'm going to do the sacrifice, blood sacrifice, so they can be protected. But the Word of God says, blood sacrifice is not going to make you perfect. You have to have change of heart. Job supposed to tell his children to love the Lord and follow the Lord and give them good teaching. He didn't do that. He was just doing the sacrifice for them. So God wanted Job to be perfect. God wanted Job to be learning more about God and see what God is and what God does. In book of Hebrews, we read that if God loves you, then he chastens you. He wants you to be perfect. Even the Jesus Christ says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If the branches doesn't give good fruits, he purges them, eclipses them. That's painful. Here God was going to teach Job some good lesson. So he tells enemy, go and do whatever you want to do. And you saw all the disaster came. And he starts saying, God gives, God takes away. So he did not sin. Then again, the enemy comes. God says, did Job say anything bad? He didn't commit sin. He's okay. He says, skin for skin. If you touch his skin, if you touch his body, then he will curse you. God says, go ahead, don't touch his spirit. And then you see all the disaster comes. His wife even said, read in chapter 2, she said, curse God and die. Why are you living? In short, she was saying, your God doesn't listen to you. Where is God? And you're worshiping wrong God. He's not doing any good to you. You should curse him. You'll die. I don't care. I don't want that this kind of husband. But he didn't divorce her. He didn't tell her, get out of my house. And I don't need you. He says, you are talking like a heathen woman. He still didn't commit sin, the word of God says. And then God sends three friends. And when those friends came, you have to read that. When they came in Job chapter 2, they came. Three of them came. They saw Job is very painful. His sickness is so horrible. They sat in the dust. They torn their clothes, robe. And they sat there for 7 days. Not saying one word to Job. And Job didn't say anything to them, but 7 days they kept quiet. They did not say a word. At that particular time, Job had the golden opportunity. Instead of thinking why I was born and the day I was born should be cursed and this and that, he should have taken that good opportunity and talked to those friends. Do you know God loves me and God knows what's happening in my life and something good is going to happen? But instead of that, he starts saying something which was not right. He didn't commit sin, the word of God says. But what he was saying was not edifying those friends. 7 days they sat there weeping. The word of God said they cried loud voice and wept. 7 days. Job had a good chance to tell them, don't cry for me. And when Jesus was passing and the ladies was crying, he said, don't cry for me. Cry for your children. Cry for yourself. Because the worst days are coming. You didn't understand why I came. Job had a good chance to minister to these people. 7 days. But he lost his chance. But God gave him a second chance. Then we see, third chapter, nobody says anything. Job start complaining. And then three people, they were doing certain things and certain talks. You have to go and see. Some of them did not say a right thing according to the word of God. But that is not my subject today. My subject is this. Job was saying anything comes from his heart. And then when you read a chapter 40, when God talks to him in like a chapter 38 and so, Job heard everything. And then he said, Lord, I heard everything. I'm keeping my mouth shut. I'm not going to say anything more. I'm going to sit in the dust. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to repent. Now just think. What was Job's problem? The word of God says, Job chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. He says, he was afraid something bad is going to happen. He said, I lived in torment. I lived in fear all of my life. Why? God gave him houses and buildings and servants and so many animals and so many children. You're supposed to thanking God and praising God and live in joy and peace. But all around the blessings, and he is living in fear and anxiety and torment. The word of God says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. But the enemy gave the spirit of fear to Job. And he was tormented. He said, this is what I thought. Somebody will come and kill my children. My property, somebody will steal it. Maybe some disaster will come. Maybe some sickness and disease will come to me. He did not know that God was protecting him. God did not tell him, hey Job, do you know even the devil came to destroy you? And he saw the hedge of protection and he said, I could not do anything. But Job didn't know that. When God started talking to Job, he started thinking that he made a mistake. He said something that he should not be saying it. He said, I'm going to repent. I'm going to confess all my sins. I want to put it right with God. This time I'm going to cast out my fear. I'm not going to listen to enemy. I'm not going to listen to all these friends accusing me. I'm going to trust in God. And what God did, you have to read the chapter 40, Job chapter 40. God says to those friends, you know what? You did not talk to me like my servant Job. So what you do, you take some burnt offering and go to my servant. And he will sacrifice the burnt offering. And he will pray for you. Can you imagine? God wanted to save those friends also. God did not say, you didn't talk to my servant properly. I'm going to punish you. And how he's blessing those people? Through Job. And he's telling Job, Job, you better pray for these people. Now, in those days, only high priest or priest can do the burnt offering or offerings. So from this we know Job is a servant of God. He has authority to do sacrifice. Those three people could not do sacrifice for themselves, so they were sent to Job. And they did not say, we don't want any sacrifice. Job was very angry with us, but they listened to God. They were humble enough to come to Job and say, Job, please pray for us. And God was watching what Job is doing. God wanted to see if Job is humble enough to do this. So God saw, because he said, I'm not going to say anything wrong anymore. I'm going to repent in the dust. So Job did not say to God, you telling me to pray those enemies? Those are not my friends. They harassed me. They said everything bad and they made me mad. And with my anger, I lose my temper. I lost my temper and I fought with them. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to do what you say. And Job chapter 42 verse 10, if you read, he says, Job prayed for them. And God delivered him and gave him the twice the blessing. See, when Job prayed, listen to God, humble himself and say, I'm going to pray for those enemies who were doing something wrong to me or harassing me. I'm going to pray. For that, you need a forgiveness. You have to have a forgiving heart. If you do not forgive somebody, God is not going to forgive you. So we learn from Job. He forgave his enemies and he prayed for them and God delivered them. And God delivered Job, and he healed him, and he gave the twice the blessings. And if you read the whole chapter 42, his all friends and all the people who left him, they came back, start giving golden ring and start giving gifts and things like that, and Job became double the rich man. What we are learning from this chapter? We are learning that God can use you for your enemies, for your friends, for your relatives. God did not tell Job, divorce your wife, she doesn't believe in me. But when God prospered Job, his wife might have asked forgiveness to Job. She might have asked forgiveness to God. And God gave him children from the same wife. From that we learn. God wants unity. God wants togetherness. God wants you to forgive your enemies and bless them. We read in the book of Romans chapter 12. He says, bless your enemy. If they're hungry, give them food, give them drink. Don't take revenge. Revenge is mine. And Jesus says the same thing in the St. Matthew chapter 5 verses 12 and onwards. He says, don't curse anybody even that they do against you or falsely accuse you. Everything they do for my name's sake, just bless them. And God will bless us. There is nothing in the Word of God says you should curse somebody. We are the people who should be blessing to others. We have so many enemies all around us. God did not tell us to go and kill them. He said, bless them. If they're hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. And that's what America is doing. If any country, anywhere is disaster, all born-again people rush there to help them. I have done the same thing. One town I went and the man said, get out of my town. I don't need you. I don't need your gospel. He was a Christian man, but a nominal Christian. I'm not telling his denomination. So he kicked me out. The Bible says, put your dust in that town and go, and judgment will come. I said, Lord, I'm giving this man another chance. I'm not putting my dust. If another time, if he does that, I will do it. And I left. In his family, I saw this, his daughter dying. She was on the bed for 8 years. It's a long story. I went and prayed for her. One of his daughter, I baptized her. But this man never came to me and said, you did great things for my family. But one day he got a tumor, big tumor like a size of coconut. And I had a church in that town, my next 22 miles from that, his town. I had a church there, and there was a hospital. He was admitted in that hospital, and he said, call Pastor Peter. I went there. I did not tell him, you kicked me out from your town. Why are you calling me? I called him uncle, because at that time he was maybe 65 or 70 years old. I thought he is just like my father's age. So I said, uncle, what can I do for you? He said, I have a big tumor. And doctor is going to operate me tomorrow. And I'm a villager. I'm afraid of this surgery. But I know you could pray for me and God will hear your prayer. I said, let's give your heart to Jesus Christ. And I led him to Christ, and I prayed for him, and I laid my hand on his stomach. And I prayed in the name of Jesus. And I said, touch and see if you have any pain. He started pushing his stomach, no pain. I said, no pain? He said, no pain. That means the tumor is disappeared. Before I prayed, he says, I am having a lot of pain. I am just like a fish out of water. I cannot sleep. I have too much pain. After that, I said, if you don't have pain, call the doctor. Let them do another x-ray. Your tumor is disappeared. He called the doctor. They checked him. No tumor. Next day, they sent him home. And when I went to visit him next day, he says, Pastor Peter, please come to my town. What I'm trying to say, even though he thought I'm his enemy, he said, I don't want anybody coming and preaching about born again and water baptism and Holy Spirit and all these things. We don't need it. Now he says, come to my town. The point I'm making, we don't have to take revenges. We don't have to curse them. We have to pray for them. And God blessed this man's family, and many of his family members got saved and baptized. So God has given us a power and authority. Just think about Job. He did not know what God has given to him. He was not enjoying his blessings. He was living in fear and torment. That's the way some Christians are. Jesus Christ already provided salvation, healing, prosperity on the cross. He says he became poor, so with his poverty, we can be rich. He took beating on his back, so with his stripes, we can be healed. He shed his precious blood, so our sins can be washed. Everything is provided. Nothing we have to do, or nothing anybody has to do, anything to provide salvation. It's done. When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, what did he say? It is done. It is finished. He finished the will of God. He finished the plan of salvation. He finished the healing for your body. And he took your poverty. You know what devil does? He wants to make you sick. He wants to make you poor. He wants to make you unbeliever. And he wants to kill you. The word of God says so. John 10:10. Enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Christian life is a blessed life. We don't have to live in torment. We don't have to live in miserable life. There is no other record in the Bible about Job that after that he got sick. He lived a long life without sickness and disease. Abraham, as I said, he lived 175 years. No sickness, no disease, no poverty. He was the richest man in town. So if those people were riches, those people were healthy, those people prayed for somebody, why can't we do it? Jesus Christ already gave the commandment. He says, go, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, do miracle. We cannot do everything with our own power. But the St. Paul says, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Dear friends, if you are a believer, the word of God says in a book of St. Mark, the believers will lay hand and sick will recover. Book of James, it says, if they are sick, call the elders of the church and they will pray. And the man, even though he is dying, he will rise from his bed. And God will heal. God is here to heal us and heal you. I'm a living witness. I'm living for God. And I want you to do the same. I want you to say, hey, I was listening to one program. And that pastor said, you pray for others. And I start doing it. And God started doing miracles. There was one preacher, and he was laying hand and anointing oil, and somebody says, oh, could you please pray for this bottle on oil, and I'm going to pray. And he went and started praying for the people in the hospital, and many people got healed. Our God is a healer. I'm going to pray for you. First of all, healings is children's bread. You give your life to God and say, Lord, I want that great God who can do miracles. I want to live for that God. Just give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Please forgive all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. Give me that power. Give me that grace so I can pray for others. I can live by faith. Lord Jesus, help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God heard our prayer. The word of God says, when you confess your sins are forgiven and forgotten, and there is no record of your sins. Your name is written in heaven. You are a child of God, and you are going to be a bride of Christ. So this promise is for you. Now I'm going to pray for you. If you are lying on the bed right now, and you cannot lift up your hand or foot or anything, I'm going to pray for you, said, I'm going to receive it by faith. If you're Hindu or Muslim and you never heard this gospel, and you heard what this man is talking about, I'm talking about the God of Abraham. If you believe that your God, your Ishmael is the Abraham's son, I'm talking about Abraham, I'm talking about Job. If God did it through them, I'm talking about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, doing the miracles today. Lay hand on your body, any one of you, and pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please touch me, heal me, deliver me, and set me free. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God already heard your prayer, and I am with you. What you have to do, try to do the things which you were not able to do before. And you will see what God has done. Write to me, call me. If you need more information, the number is there. Call me or write me or send me an email, and I'll be any help to you. God wants to heal you today, not tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is for your healing. Receive it by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. And now, may God richly bless you and use you more and more for His glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.